My name is Erin, and I have been a member at Highlands for my whole life. Today, I will be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they had crucified him. We had hoped he was there, the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us. It's early. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road, and then he explained the scriptures for us?' They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Simon.' Then two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known for them as he broke the bread."
Today, our scripture invites us to go on a walk. I've heard from a lot of you that walks are a source of hope and rejuvenation right now. So as we find God outside the sanctuary, I hope you find a place of connection in today's story. In order to fully appreciate today's scripture, you first must understand the devastation the walk the disciples are on has begun amidst. The disciples in our scripture are weary as they walk through strange times. The faithful friends of Jesus are picking up the pieces after they have had the darkest day they have ever known. The visions of what could have been, shattered. Everything they had expected, left unfulfilled. Hope is gone. This story happens 3 days after the crucifixion. It happens on Easter. Easter afternoon. And the disciples are walking to a town called Emmaus. As they walk, they encounter a man who journeys with them. This walk reveals a lot to us. This walk reveals a lot to the disciples. For this is a story of hope re-entering life. This is a story of growing our understanding. This is a story of relationship that develops on a journey. This is a story of seeing Christ. But of course, they don't know that at the beginning. In fact, only the reader knows the entire story. For the disciples, this guy, who we know as Jesus, just walks up and asks a simple question. "Hey, what's going on?" And the disciples' response is perfect. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? I mean, anyone who has lost a loved one knows the feeling of frustration when the world just keeps going on around you while you're lost in grief. And this situation carries even more frustration for the disciples. They just watched giant crowds shout, "Crucify him," as if the entire city wanted their pain. They are so close to something everyone knows about. Everyone knew about it, and they bump into the one guy who doesn't know. But this serves them well, because they get to tell him the story. This is an important part of the journey. The disciples open the conversation by talking about what happened. And not just the facts. They recount how they feel, and they tell him why they feel that way. This is something we all need. We need for this in every aspect of our lives, especially right now. We need to check in and tell our stories to one another. It's why we have our parents group and our joys and concerns group and our young adult group. It's why we have folks share during worship about what's been hard and where they find hope. The need to check in is also why I see a counselor on a regular basis. Sometimes my counselor and I dig into deep issues. Most of the time I just tell him about my week. It's the one time I actually stop and think about what's going on in my life and how it's affecting me. The disciples are recounting to this man how they feel and why they feel that way. They're sharing it with someone who will listen and acknowledge and validate what's being shared, who stays on the journey with them. That's what we find in our scripture today. But the story doesn't stop there. The mystery man then begins to ask some questions and offer some opinions of his own. As readers, we know Jesus is explaining the very concepts he already shared with the disciples before, but the disciples don't know that. I'm incredibly surprised that none of the disciples tried to shut him down. "Sir, you didn't even know what happened a couple days ago. Jesus was our friend. You don't need to explain the things he talked about to us." The only thing I can think is that grace intervened, and the disciples listened to someone else's opinions and ideas. That's what makes this a story of growing our own understanding. Instead of shutting down different opinions, instead of only listening to thoughts that reinforce their current ideologies, the disciples grew in their understanding because they were open to listening. It's important to note, Jesus was telling them things they had heard him say before, but this time they connected with it in a new way. I wonder, could the fact that they didn't recognize him make that possible? Every other time Jesus tried to tell them things, they were filtering it through their expectations of the Savior. The message was shaped by their preconceptions of a Messiah. They had to remove the stereotypes and the judgments. And then, and only then, could they finally hear what was really being said. This new openness led to the development of a relationship. And as their journey neared its end, with the man who walked with them was preparing to leave, they offered an invitation. "Stay with us for dinner?" And this is the whole moment the story has been building to. The answer to the question only the reader has. We've been asking it the whole time. When are they going to figure out that this is Jesus? And that moment comes in the most beautiful way possible, through the breaking of the bread. I mean, just days before, Jesus had taken bread, given thanks, and broken it, and given it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Remember me every time you do this." And as the bread is broken, they remember. They remember and they recognize. They saw Christ in that moment because of the generosity of God's love. As they sought nourishment, they were actually nurtured in the divine presence. This scripture is often read in the weeks following Easter, so it's chronologically appropriate for this time. But right now, I feel an entirely new appreciation for it, because we are walking through some strange times. I know these questions are in my mind often these days, and I wonder, as I wander, are we honoring our feelings, our questions, and naming them aloud? Are we moving through life in all of its strangeness, with all of the feelings, frustrations, questions, and doubts that the disciples knew? I mean, I wonder if in the quiet moments on their walk before Jesus arrived, if the disciples weren't thinking, God, why is it like this? Or perhaps, you know, their minds kept returning to the most essential of questions. God, where are you in the midst of all of this? I also wonder, how is Jesus walking with us in ways we cannot see yet? My faith tells me that the divine presence journeys with us. But when I'm having trouble finding it, a story like this comforts me, reminding me that it's there even when I can't see it. I wonder, as I wander, what might I be learning from those who journey with me? Are there new perspectives on life that I could be hearing since my normal patterns and rhythms have been disrupted? Might I encounter something new? Can I see the world and how it affects people in new ways? We are walking through some strange times. And as we walk together through these strange times, I am grateful to have you as companions. The walk feels less daunting with you along, and I am grateful for the promise that Jesus walks with us as well. That we might all be cared for, that we might all grow, that we all might arrive to a place of nurturing in the divine presence.